got Brother Ethan in the booth. Hallelujah. Running it with the new equipment. Hallelujah. With 40 minutes of practice. He said, Dad, Brother Marcus already showed me how to do this. Hallelujah. I thank God for him. I'm happy on today. And so I'm gonna dive directly into the word. Amen. And God has given me the title on today. Amen. Crazy confidence. Crazy confidence. Amen. Amen. Crazy confidence. You have to have crazy confidence to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. You have to have crazy confidence to serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you'll get faced, or certain situations will come up that you are not expecting. You'll get put on the spot. Amen. And in yourself, sometimes you'll feel like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. And then God, that's the spirit will just kick in. Before I get into the word, because y'all know I just like that. I'm feeling so good. I just want to talk today. Amen. I thank God for my sister Khadijah, our usher in the back. We were at a workshop on Friday, and we were sitting together. We sat together the whole day, and a question came up, and I, you know, a lot of times when they asking me questions about work or these open-ended questions, so the workshop was on leadership, but they asked me these open-ended questions, and a lot of times I'm not even thinking about work. I'm thinking about like my personal life or something God-related, because that's just where my mind goes to first. But I told her that something happened to me, and I say it's kind of heavy, though, sis. So I don't know if I want to share it, because it's going to, basically, when I share it, it might be like a downer. Like, it's going to be like, oh, like, I don't even know how to respond to that, Pastor. But she was like, I listen, though, if you want to share it. So I told her, you know, the workshop started at 9, but before I even got there, I went to my school, and before I could even get to the workshop at 9, somebody in my building just were like, let me ask you a question. This is like 8 o'clock in the morning. Let me ask you a question. She said, well, I'm going to need to be off on a certain day because I have to make the decision on whether to pull the plug on my uncle or not. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm not ready for this question. So she said, I'm trying to make the decision on whether I'm going to pull the plug. You a pastor. What should I do? 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm thinking about what I got to do for work, and she done hit me with a pastor question. And if I was in myself, I would have told her, you know, what I thought of this or that, but a lot of times people already have the answer. They just want you to listen. They want you to listen. And I asked her a couple of questions, and she came to her own conclusion about what she wanted to do or what she was going to do. But the reason I bring that story up is you got to have crazy confidence to serve the Lord. Otherwise, you'll be wishy-washy. Otherwise, you'll run from difficult situations. Otherwise, you'll get flustered. But when you have crazy confidence in the Lord, God has a way of always making the answer come up in you, or he'll have you to move to do the right thing, or even to be still when you know you ain't got the answer. He'll have you to be still so you don't say the wrong thing. And so one of my favorite, this is not my favorite book. I have two favorite books. So this is not in either one of my favorite books, but this is one of my favorite scriptures. And I like these two scriptures because they display the crazy confidence that Jesus had in who he was. And it is Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. And y'all can stay seated as I read it. But it reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind. Yes. To set at liberty. All right, Brother John. Yes. I never had that before. Yes. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. And I love these verses. I love these verses because every time I read them, I'm just like, man, Jesus knows who he is. And so the question that I want to ask y'all is, like, do you know who you really are? Do you, like, don't think about nobody else right now. Like, do you think about you? Do you really know who you are? Do you really know what you were put on this earth to do? Do you know your why? Do you know your why? When you wake up every morning, do you know your why? To know your why is to have crazy confidence. Right? To know your why. And I know somebody probably sitting there thinking about their job right now, or you might be thinking about your family, and all that's good. Like, they play a role in your why. But if you don't know, like, that thing, that one reason, that God called thing that you're here to do, then that's what you need to be chasing after. That's what you need to be asking God for. And when I say chasing after, I'm not talking about, like, moving in your own strength. I'm talking about just running after God. Not to get to that thing, but to get to him. If you get to him, you'll get to that thing. Right? I love these verses because Jesus is like, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And I know exactly, like, he has anointed me to preach. He has anointed me to heal. He has anointed me to deliver. He has anointed me to give sight to the blind, to set at liberty. He's anointed me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, he goes down this list confidently. He runs down this list of things that I was called to do. And some of us don't even know why we're doing anything. But I love the fact that he knows what he's called to do. I love the context of it. Because when he's saying these things, he was saying these things to the people in his hometown. The people that thought they knew him. Right? There's some people that think they know you. Right? But most of the time when we tell the truth, like, some of our closest family members don't even really know us. They don't know what we really think, and they don't know how we really feel. They don't know how, like, sometimes we feel like we drown, and they don't know. Because most of the time when somebody asks you how you doing, what we say? Okay. We don't say the real thing, right? But I even love the context because he's preaching to people who thought they knew him. Jesus was like, y'all think y'all know me, but no, this is who I am. Right? He is boldly declaring to those who thought they knew him who he really is. And so my question to you is, do you really let people know who you really are? Do you live your day-to-day life as the person you really are? Right? Even in your home, do you live your life like the person you really are? Because I know all of us, I know the feeling of wanting to do better and not know how to do better. Like, I want to be this person. I want to be this good person who thinks and who feels and who moves and who acts like that. That's the person that's the real me. But I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to put the weed down. I don't know how to stop worrying about sex. I don't know how to stop worrying about my bills. I don't know how to stop stressing. I know this is not who I am. I want to be this different person, but I don't know how to get there. You got to have Jesus. Amen. To get there. And what I love about these verses is, if Jesus is that confident in him, and sometimes I'm not confident in myself, if I lean into his confidence, if I trust in him, if I lean into his confidence, it makes me a little bit more bolder. Some people have crazy confidence in themselves. You might be saying, I know who I am. Some people have crazy confidence in themselves, but oftentimes that crazy confidence is really pride. It's really pride. Those are the people you can't tell nothing to, right? Those are the people where it's always about proving something. I'm going to prove to them who I am. The only reason you're trying to prove to other people who you are is because you're really unsure about who you are. I don't have to prove nothing to y'all. I just have to be who he called me to be. Whether anybody else sees it or not, that's crazy confidence. When you're trying to prove to other people who you are, that's because you want them to say, okay, that's who she is. You need a validation to feel good about who you are or who you say you are. Right? That's when your identity is really dependent on other people. Most of the time we do that because we need other people. We need somebody to co-sign on who we want to be. But when you're serving the Lord, a lot of times people not going to co-sign. God wants you dependent on him. And so what I love about what Jesus in these verses is saying about himself, right? Because his confidence is not like a boastful pride. Jesus is not saying, yeah, I'm anointed. I know I'm the man. He's not saying it. The very first thing he says is the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He knows who he is because he can feel that it's the Lord, that it's the Spirit of God that's on him. That's his everything. That's who I am. It's who he's made me to be. Right? That's what I love about crazy confidence that Jesus has in these verses. Everything that he says I'm getting ready to do is in the service of God. You can't tell me you have crazy confidence in the things that you are doing are not in the name of God or not in the Spirit of God. Crazy confidence comes from the Lord. And so in this sermon, this whole sermon is going to be these two verses. In this sermon, I want to walk through out of his own mouth, what Jesus declares he was anointed to do. I want to walk through what he declares he's anointed to do. And he does it. Y'all got to remember the title of the sermon. Everything he's saying, it has crazy confidence. Why you keep pushing that? Why you keep pushing that point? Because I want you to have crazy confidence. I want crazy confidence myself. When the service starts and the music is playing in this devotion service, I want you to have crazy confidence in your praise. I want you to have crazy confidence in your worship. And remember what I was saying. Crazy confidence is not dependent upon what other people are thinking at the moment. Right? You can't have crazy confidence in your praise if you're thinking, well, Sister So-and-so ain't singing with me. Oh, minister ain't feeling it, so should I be feeling it right now? Pastor look like he out of it. He ain't feeling it, so I can't praise him right now. I gotta wait the brother John get right on the keyboard before I feel it. When you have crazy confidence in what you're doing, what you're doing is not dependent on what other people are doing. Right? If nobody else in here came to praise him on today, I'm going to praise him. If nobody else came to glorify him, I'm going to glorify him. It's been a long time since I felt this kind of fire. I don't know if y'all can leave. Y'all ain't even saying amen, but the fire's still coming out of me. Amen. Because my preaching not dependent on somebody else's amen. That's what crazy. See, you got to be crazy to stand up. You're the only one standing and 40, 30 people looking at you. Amen. Like what you talking about? Amen. I'm talking about Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And so Jesus starts. He says the first thing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach to the poor, right? To preach the gospel. Amen. See how you change it? When even one word out changes the whole meaning. Amen. To preach the gospel. To preach the good news to the poor. What is he talking about? The poor in spirit. So let's break it down. This is not just mean, right? The gospel, the good news is not to just make you feel good. The good news is not a pep talk. The good news is that God has a plan to save you out of your sin. That is the gospel. God has a plan to save you out of your sin and out of your despair. This is where Jesus started. This is where his crazy confidence starts. We want our crazy confidence to start when we get the new job. We want our crazy confidence to start when our bank account look right. We want our crazy confidence to start when our relationship is right. When we got that boyfriend or that girlfriend. We want that crazy confidence to start when we get so many likes on social media. Right? But Jesus' crazy confidence starts when he's talking about the poor in spirit. when he's talking about the gospel, when he's talking about the good news, when he's talking about God's plan for salvation. Some of us can't get to where we're going because we're still in sin. We're still struggling with some stuff because we're still in despair. And if God gave you what you wanted, before he tried to help you to get right, you just gonna mess it up anyway and then blame him for it. Jesus starts with the good news. He says, I have been anointed to preach the good news to the poor in spirit, to those that are in despair. And I start with sin and despair because it's two types. It's our own personal sin, and then it's collective sin. We live in a sinful world, y'all. And the good news is that Jesus is a savior. Then Jesus moves to, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He said, Jesus says, I'm anointed. He confidently says, I'm anointed to heal the brokenhearted. If you want your heart healed, you got to go back to step one. You got to accept the Savior. He says, if you allow me to be your Savior, I can heal your brokenhearted. He says this thing confidently. He says, this is what I came to do. I came to heal your broken heart. Think of the things that have broken your heart. Right now, think of the things. Think of something that broke your heart. Think of it. Lord, I thank you. He's a father to the fatherless. Somebody says the fact that my father was never there for me. I don't even know who my daddy is, or he never showed up to none of my stuff. Right? When you accept the Savior, he becomes a father to the fatherless. Right? He's the lover of your soul. It was that relationship. He didn't love you. She didn't love you. It was that divorce. You put your all into it, and you loved, and you loved, and you loved, and they broke your heart. When you accept the Savior, he becomes the lover of your soul. Right? And your confidence is him is not depending on what that person did to you at that point. Something changes in you. Right? He's the lover of your soul. He's the resurrecting one. It's when you say, God took my mama, God took my grandmama, God took my daddy, God took my husband. Hallelujah. When you accept the Savior, you realize that in him there is no death. Hallelujah. All of those things, think about all of those things, that heartbreaking, that disappointment. Think about that lost or that failed relationship. All those possible or missed opportunities. Well, in the Savior, you have an answer. He promises never to leave and never forsake. He promises to make all things new. His claims are bold. He says all of these things to us with confidence. And I don't know if y'all can feel it. Does it feel like I'm lying to you? Think about it. Does it feel like I'm lying to you? People have a way of saying stuff so confident. You know, somebody can tell you a lie so confidently, look you dead in your face, so confidently, and tell you a lie. And you'll believe it because just how that hike, like, whoa, that got to be true. But I want you to think about what I'm saying. Does it feel like I'm lying to you about what God can do for you? About what Jesus is saying about himself? I'm just telling you what he said about himself. Lord, I thank you. He says, I came to preach deliverance to the captives. In addition to preaching about eternal salvation, right? He says, I'm anointed to deliver and set you free. So the first thing when he says, I came to preach the good news, he talking about salvation. But we all know that when we give our life to Christ, that's not the end of the journey. See, that messes some people up because they think when they accept Jesus, then all of a sudden everything gonna go right.
Right, right.
But that's just the first step. So he says, after I save you, after I start to mend that broken heart and become all the things that you need me to be, then it's time for me to start to deliver you from some of the things that's holding you back. Then it's time for me to deliver the captive. So in addition to preaching about eternal salvation, Jesus says, not only can I save you, I can deliver you and I can set you free. Yes. To be captive means to be held by something.
Yes, yes.
God does not want you to be held by anything or anyone involuntarily.
Amen. Amen.
Get that now. He don't want you to be held by anything. Anything can become an idol, even this church. Even this church. If I make ministry my number one aim and it's all about me making my church big and getting all the members and my son is somewhere sitting in his room saying, my daddy don't never have time for me. He always at the church. Then I've made the church my idol. And I'm going to have to answer that I didn't live out what I was saying. I'm working in Jesus' name, but I'm not living it out in my own home. God does not want us to be held by anything or anyone involuntarily. God is about willful submission. Right? I don't want my wife to submit to me because the Bible says it. I don't want her to submit to me because the Bible says it. I want her to submit to me because she see the Bible in me.
Amen. Amen.
Because she see the Bible in me.
Amen. Amen.
See, we throw scriptures that you supposed to submit because the Bible say that the wife supposed to submit to the husband. I don't want her to submit for that reason. I want her to see the Bible in me and want to willingly submit to me.
Amen. 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 Yes,
Lord. God is about willful submission. Right? You have to see the spirit. You have to see the intent behind what God is saying. You have to see the intent why God says to submit. The intent behind submission. When you submit your life to the Lord, the intent behind God asking us to submit is safety. There's safety in God. God, when God asks us to submit, he's saying, you can trust me. You're going to be safe with me. I won't hurt you. I will protect you. I'll never leave you. I'll provide for you. I'll heal you. And you can trust. You can have confidence. You can stand in. You can take it to the bank.
Yes.
That I am. All of these things. That's why he asks us to submit. So when God say, husband, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And all that submission talk. They supposed to find safety in you. And they can't find safety in you if they can't find God in you.
Amen.
I'll preach about wives another time. Husbands getting it today. Right? God is good, and because he's good, he will always keep me safe. He will always protect me. He will always provide for me. Right? Hallelujah. Christ says, I came to set you free from anything that has you bound. I tell you, there's a lot in two verses, ain't it?
Yes, amen.
Recovering sight to the blind. Part of our problem, Jesus says, you know, I can save you. I can mend your broken heart. I can deliver you. He says, but you won't even see what I'm trying to do for you. You won't even notice. That's why I keep asking y'all questions. Because I want you to really like, not only do I want you to hear what I'm saying, I want you to see what I'm saying. I need you to see what I'm saying. Jesus says, I came to recover sight to the blind. A part of our problem is our blindness. Christ says, I'm anointed to restore sight. And when are you going to see? I'm talking to somebody now. When are you going to see that the way you are approaching life is not working? When you going to see how you go through your Monday through Friday, your 24 hours, when are you going to see that the way that you have been approaching life is not working for you. You keep doing the same thing, thinking that the result is going to change. That's blindness. Jesus says, I came so that you would no longer be blind like that. Right? It ain't working. You got the same fears. You got the same insecurities. Right? You think you see what's going on, but because you're blind to what's really happening, it affects your hearing. So since you can't see what's really happening, you can't hear what he's really saying. Say that again. Because you can't see what's really happening, you can't hear what he's really saying. He's trying to get you to believe. And because you can't hear what he's really saying, it affects your response. Somebody ain't thinking, you're going to have to go back and listen to this. When you can't hear, it makes your faith waver. When God is saying, baby, I got you, but you can't hear him saying that, then you start to doubt him. And then when you start to doubt him, your actions and your, so you try to take stuff into your own hands. So your work start to become something different. I'm talking about faith and words if you ain't caught on yet. When you're blind, when you can't see what God and who God is in your life, it affects your faith, what you believe, and it affects what you do. You say you believe, but nothing lines up with what true faith in Christ means. And your blindness keeps you from seeing anything wrong. Dang, Pastor. But the good news is, who came? Who came to give you sight? Jesus. If I said to somebody in here, your problem is, if I say a missionary or a minister or whoever, your problem is you talk too much. You talk too much. Somebody is probably right now trying to decide whether I'm telling the truth or not. Really? Think about it. Do I see that? Is that me? Your feelings might even be hurt, right? You might be questioning. Instead of hearing and seeing what the Spirit is actually saying and what the request was, somebody probably thinking, if I say you talk too much, why are you telling me to be silent? Is that what that means? Did I say be silent? Or did I say talk less? It's all about what you, like, y'all understand? I'm trying to show you what our hearts do. We hear and we see what we want to see instead of hearing what's actually being said. I didn't say stop talking. I didn't say shut up. I didn't say sit down. I made a statement. You talk too much. If you're listening with the Spirit, you're going to say, all right, Pastor, I'm going to talk less. I'm going to listen and I'm going to talk less. Right? When we are blind to things, they hold us back and we miss those little lessons. But Jesus can restore our sight. He can show us what's separating us from him. I got two things left and then I'm done. Jesus says that he's anointed to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now that may sound like setting the captives free, but it's something totally different. He's talking about after you get saved. He's talking about after, you know, he delivers. He's talking about after he starts to show you things. But you still ain't all the way free. Not because you're walking in sin, because he done delivered you. He done set you a captive, and he set you free. You still not all the way free. Right? Then let me put it this way. So when the slaves were free, their mindset didn't automatically change. Like you technically you free, but you still got a slave mindset. This is what Jesus is talking about. Like, I set you free. I saved you from your sin, but you're not walking in liberty. What does the word say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? So I saved you from your sins, but you're not all the way free. Why? Because you're bruised. You still got some stuff that, like, it ain't even about what you doing, like, you hurting anymore. It's about some of the things that were done to you, and you haven't let it go yet. Jesus said, I can fix that too. He's talking about the things that happen to us in our life. That, don't y'all know that bruises hurt? Even when if you're light skinned like me, even when the discoloration goes away, you can still feel it until it's healed. A lot of times we focus on the bruises or the scars that are visible, but we have other bruises that hurt. That can't nobody see. Jesus say, I can fix that too. And then he closes out by saying, you know, I came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What does that mean? I ain't gonna spend a lot of time on this one. That means right now. He said, I came to tell you all of these things right now, that you don't have to wait till tomorrow, that you don't have to wait till next Sunday. You don't have to wait till you get home. He says, I can do these things. I can give you crazy confidence right now that when you walk out of these doors on today, like, I can give you crazy confidence that today is your day. And I'm getting ready to come in, Brother John. I can give you crazy confidence that today is the day God is going to do something for me. He's going to save me. He's going to deliver me. He's going to set me at liberty. He's going to give me sight. And I'm going to walk out this church. I'm going to walk out this little bitty room different than I came in. But did you hear what I'm saying? It takes crazy confidence to hear what I'm saying. It takes crazy confidence. Y'all know. It's hard for people to believe in Jesus in 2024. It takes crazy confidence to believe. If anybody wants to believe today, if anybody want to get their life to the Lord, if anybody want to be set free, delivered, healed, if somebody's saying, Lord, I need crazy confidence to get through my situation, today is the day. Say, Lord, I need some crazy confidence. And remember, crazy confidence is not dependent. You might be the only person that's stepping the aisle today, but it ain't about crazy confidence gonna have you feeling like you're in a room by yourself. Step in the eye.